Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Ponzi Factor, The Simple Truth About Investment Profits, is a short finance critique by Tan Liu that argues many stock market profits are structurally dependent on money from later buyers rather than on direct cash payments from the underlying businesses. Written as a polemical and analytical work, it challenges the conventional view that stock ownership automatically produces real economic gain. Instead, Liu focuses on the difference between accounting profit and actual cash realization. Especially in markets where companies do not pay dividends and investors rely on price appreciation to make money. The book draws on the author's experience in hedge funds and trading to explain how reported gains can be shaped by valuation conventions, accrual accounting, and investor expectations. It is aimed at readers who want a skeptical, mechanism-based critique of modern capital markets rather than a standard investing guide. Its purpose is not to teach portfolio construction, but to question the logic of investment profits themselves. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why non-dividend stocks are central to the book's critique. A core claim in the book is that stock ownership has drifted away from a traditional income model and become heavily dependent on capital gains. Liu argues that when companies do not distribute dividends, investors are not receiving direct cash returns from the business they own. Instead, they are hoping to sell their shares to someone else at a higher price. This makes profit depend on the willingness of later buyers to pay more, which is the basis for his Ponzi scheme analogy. The argument does not say every stock is fraudulent in the legal sense. Rather, it says the economic structure of many equity investments is negative sum unless cash is eventually paid out. This framing shifts attention from price charts and growth narratives to a more basic question: where does investor profit actually come from? That question is what gives the book its force, because it challenges one of the most familiar assumptions in finance, namely that rising share prices alone are evidence of real wealth creation. Secondly, how accounting creates the appearance of profit before cash exists. Another important theme is the role of accounting in making gains appear real before they are actually realized. Liu emphasizes accrual accounting and valuation practices that allow institutions to report profits based on expectations rather than completed cash transactions. In this view, a fund or trader can describe an asset as profitable simply because it is marked at a higher assumed value, even if no one has bought it at that price. The book uses this idea to show how finance can produce paper wealth that looks convincing on reports while remaining disconnected from actual liquidity. This distinction matters because many investors read reported returns as evidence of successful economic activity, when they may only reflect an accounting convention. Liu's critique is strongest when it explains how finance can function through delayed recognition, optimistic assumptions, and internal valuation models. The practical implication is that readers should not confuse reported gains with money that can actually be distributed or withdrawn without relying on new inflows. Thirdly, the stock market as a transfer system between investors, not a wealth factory. The book repeatedly reframes the stock market as a mechanism for redistributing money among participants, rather than creating money from nothing. Liu's basic point is that when one investor profits by selling a share at a higher price, that gain must come from another investor who is paying more. This does not deny that companies can grow, innovate, or generate real earnings. It argues that the investor-facing profit layer often operates separately from that productive reality. In other words, the business may be valuable, but the market price movement is still driven by bargaining between buyers and sellers. Liu uses this to question the popular belief that capital markets naturally reward merit, productivity, or long-term ownership. His analysis is useful because it strips away the language of efficiency and focuses on transaction mechanics. Once that lens is applied, the market looks less like a machine for compounding wealth and more like a system whose apparent gains depend on continuous participation and rising demand. Fourthly, historical crashes as evidence of fragile money inflows. Liu Su supports his argument by pointing to major market collapses and speculative episodes as moments when the inflow of new money weakened or stopped. The historical examples associated with the book include well-known crashes such as 1929, 1987, 2000, and 2008. Which he treats as recurring expressions of the same structural weakness. The point is not simply that markets rise and fall, which is obvious. The point is that systems built on ever higher resale prices need constant inflows of fresh capital to keep valuations from unraveling. When confidence breaks or buyers disappear, the structure cannot support its own stated prices. This interpretation gives the book a crisis-centered logic: bubbles are not anomalies. They are the visible result of an underlying dependence on liquidity and sentiment. Readers may not agree with the full Ponzi analogy, but the historical framing is effective because it ties valuation excesses to real moments of failure rather than to abstract theory alone. Lastly, why the book reads more like a critique of finance culture than an investing manual. although the title suggests a finance explanation. The book is really a critique of how investment culture normalizes claims that are difficult to verify in cash terms. Liu is not mainly offering portfolio tactics, valuation formulas, or step-by-step trading guidance. He is challenging the assumptions that make speculative gains seem legitimate in the first place. That is why the book appeals more to readers interested in market structure, accounting, and financial ideology than to those seeking practical investing advice. Its argumentative style is direct and compressed, which gives it the feel of a manifesto more than a textbook. This also explains why some readers may find it repetitive or narrow. The book is built around one central thesis and keeps returning to it from different angles. Even so, that narrowness is part of its identity. In a field crowded with books that defend market optimism, Liu's work stands out by insisting that the real question is not how to beat the market, but whether the market's profit story is coherent at all. In conclusion, The Ponzi Factor is best suited to readers who already have some familiarity with investing, accounting, or financial criticism and want a forceful challenge to the usual assumptions about stock market profits. It will be most useful for skeptical investors, finance students, and general readers who are interested in how prices, dividends, and reported returns relate to actual cash generation. The book is less about practical investing strategy than about intellectual reorientation. It asks readers to distinguish paper gains from real realized value and to examine how much of market performance depends on later buyers. That makes it different from conventional personal finance books, which usually accept the legitimacy of equity markets and focus on participation or optimization. Liu's work stands out because it is unusually direct in treating non-dividend stock appreciation as structurally dependent on new capital inflows. Even readers who reject that conclusion may still find the book valuable as a provocation, since it forces a closer look at how financial narratives are built, how accounting can shape perception, and why market crashes often reveal hidden fragility. If you would like to support Tan Liu, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.